I can't begin to express how honored I am to receive this award. My awe of the Electronic Frontier Foundation dates back to my teenage years, of all things. EFF has always inspired me to think deeply about what values should shape the internet. And so I want to talk about those values tonight. And what happens when those values are lost or violated, as we have unfortunately seen recently in our industry and institutions. Before I begin, I would like to ask you to join me in a moment of silence, out of respect to all who have been raped, trafficked, harassed, and abused. For those of you who have been there, take this moment to breathe. And for those of you who haven't, take a moment to really reflect on how the work that you do has enabled the harm of others, even when you didn't mean it to. The story of how I got to be standing here is rife with pain, and I need to expose part of my story here today in order to make visible why we need to have a great reckoning. The first blog post I ever wrote was about my own sexual assault. It was 1997, and my audience was two people. I didn't even know what I was doing would be called blogging. Years later, when many people were actually reading my blog, I erased those early blog posts. I decided that strangers didn't need to know about my past, and I didn't have to actually account for them, so I obfuscated my history in order to make others more comfortable. I was at the MIT Media Lab from 1999 to 2002. As an incoming student at the orientation dinner, an older faculty member sat down next to me, and he looked at me and asked if love existed. I raised my eyebrow as he talked about how love was a mirage and that sex and pleasure were the only things that were real. That was my introduction to Marvin Minsky. My time at the Media Lab was full of contradictions. I have so many positive memories of different kinds of conversations and people that were there. I can even close my eyes and picture myself in the elevator reading Neuromancer. But it was also excruciating. I couldn't afford my rent, and I did a variety of things that I deeply regret in order to make it work. I grew numb to the worst parts of Demo or Die, and I witnessed so much harassment, bullying, that it started to feel normal. I was told that students needed to learn their place, and that we don't pay you to read, we don't pay you to think, we pay you to do. The final straw for me was when I was pressured to work with the Department of Defense to track terrorists in 2002. So after leaving the lab, I channeled all my energy into V-Day, an organization best known for producing the Vagina Monologues, but whose daily work is focused on ending violence against women and girls. I found solace in helping to build online networks of feminists who were trying to combat sexual abuse and a culture of abuse. And to this day, I continue to work on issues like trafficking and combating the distribution of images, a part of the commercial sexual abuse of minors. By 2003, I was out here in San Francisco, where I started meeting tech luminaries, the people I admired from afar. One told me I was kind of smart for a chick. Others propositioned me. But some were truly kind and supportive. Joe Ito became a dear friend and mentor. He was that guy who made sure that I got home okay at night on multiple occasions. He was also the guy who took me calling him in for his misbehaviors seriously. And it made me really respect him. I also met John Perry Barlow at that time. We became very good friends and spent lots of time together. He was another tech luminary who I had looked up to since I was a teenager. And he was there for me over and over again when I needed him to. But a few years later, after we were pretty close friends, he asked me to forgive a friend of his, a friend whose sexual predation I had witnessed firsthand. He told me it was in the past and that I needed to get over it. Just to get along, he wanted everybody to get along. I refused. I was unable to convey to him how much it hurt me that he was even asking. Our relationship frayed, and we only talked a few times in the last couple of years of his life. So here we are today. I'm receiving this award, named after Barlow less than a week after Joey resigned from an institution that nearly destroyed me, after he socialized with and took money from a pedophile. Let me be clear, this is deeply destabilizing for me. because I am here in no small part because I benefited from the generosity of men who tolerated and in effect enabled unethical, immoral, and criminal men. And because of that privilege, I managed to keep moving forward, even as the collateral damage of patriarchy stifled so many voices of other people around me. I am angry, I am sad, I am horrified and disturbed, because I know too well that these systems are not meritocratic. And I know that I have been complicit in upholding many of these systems. But what's happening at the Media Lab right now is emblematic of broader issues, both in the tech industry and beyond. Tech prides itself in being better than other sectors. But it's not. As an employee of Google in 2004, I watched my male colleagues ogle women come into the cafeteria in our building from the second floor, making lewd comments. When I first visited the Facebook in Palo Alto, I was greeted by a hypersexualized mural and knowing looks from women, the one woman who was an admin who was there. So many small, little moments seared into my brain, building up years and years of normalized misogyny. So fast forward 15 years, and where are we? There are countless stories of executive misconduct, purposeful suppression of the voices of women, people of color, and other marginalized peoples. These are the toxic logics that have infested the tech industry. And as an industry obsessed with scale, these are the toxic logics that the tech industry has amplified and normalized. The human cost of these logics continues to grow. So why are we tolerating it? Why are we tolerating the sexual predators and the sexual harassers in our industry? And why are we tolerating the people that are actually supporting those who are not willing to stand up? I'm here today because I learned how to survive and thrive in a man's world, to use my tongue wisely, to wash my back, and dodge daggers. I'm being honored because I figured out how to remove a few bricks in those fortified walls so that others could look in. But it's not enough. I am so grateful to EFF for this honor. But there are so many underrepresented and underacknowledged voices out there trying to be heard. And they need a voice at the tech table. Around the world, they're asking for those in Silicon Valley to take their moral responsibilities seriously. They're asking everyone in the tech sector to take stock of their own complicity in what's unfolding and actively invite others in. And so if my recognition means anything tonight, I need it to be a call to arms. The tech industry must start to face the great reckoning head on. My experiences are all too common for women in tech. It is also all too common for well-meaning guys to do shitty things that make it worse for those that they believe that they're trying to support. If change is going to happen, values and ethics need to have a seat in the boardroom. Board governance needs to go beyond protecting the interests of capitalism. Change also means that the ideas and concerns of all people need to be part of the design phase and auditing of systems, even if it slows things down. We need to bring back and reinvigorate the profession of quality assurance so that the products are not launched with systematic considerations without taking account for all the harms that might occur. Call it security, call it safety, but it requires genuine commitment to inclusion. After all, whether we like it or not, we're standing in the center that has become in the business of global governance. Move fast and break things is an abomination if your goal is to create a healthy society. Taking shortcuts may be financially profitable in the short term, but the cost to society is too great to be justified. In a healthy society, we accommodate differently abled people through accessibility standards, not because it's financially prudent, but because it's the right thing to do. In a healthy society, we make certain that the vulnerable amongst us are not harassed into silence, because that's not actually the value behind free speech. In a healthy society, we strategically design to increase social cohesion, because binaries are machine logic, not human logic. The great reckoning is in front of us, and how we respond right now to the calls for justice are going to shape the future of the technology and of the society. We must hold accountable those who perpetuate, amplify, and enable hate, harm, and cruelty. But accountability without transformation is simply spectacle. We owe it to ourselves and to all who have been hurt to focus on the roots of the problem. We also owe it to them to actively seek not to build technologies when the human cost is too great. My ask of you is to honor me and my story by stepping back and reckoning with your own contributions to the current state of affairs. No one in tech, not me, not you, are truly an innocent bystander. We have all enabled this current state of affairs in one way or another, and it is our responsibility collectively to take action. So how can you personally amplify underrepresented voices? How can you intentionally take time to listen to those who've been injured and understand their perspective? How can you personally stand up to injustice so that the structural inequities aren't further calcified? The goal should not be to avoid doing evil. It should be to actively do good. And it's not enough to say that we're doing good or to do some sort of good. We have to collectively define and hold each other to shared values and standards. Now, people can change. Institutions can change. But doing so requires all who are harmed and all who benefited from that harm to come forward, admit their mistakes, and actively take steps to change the power dynamics. It requires everyone to hold each other accountable, to also aim for reconciliation, not simply retribution. So as we leave here tonight, let's stop designing technologies envisioned in dystopian novels. We need to heed the warning of artists, not race head-on into their nightmares. Let's focus on hearing the voices and experiences of those who've been harmed because of the technologies that made this industry and this city so powerful. And let's collaborate with and design along those communities who are trying to fix the wrongs to build just and empowering technologies rather than those that reify the status quo. Many of us are aghast to learn that a pedophile has had this much influence in tech, science, and academia, and we haven't even learned the small bits of it all. But many more people actually face the personal and professional harm of exclusion, the emotional burden of never-ending subtle misogyny, the exhaustion from dodging daggers, and the nagging feeling that you're going crazy as you experience it day in and day out. So please, let's change the norms. Please help me. Thank you.